We continue this week with our fourth sermon in the Hebrews Merit Badges with Jesus series. This week we're looking at life-saving. One of the most important scouting skills that can be learned is how to preserve a life until it can be saved. The use of a life preserver, however, is a temporary measure that becomes obsolete once a life is saved. Utilizing this analogy, we will consider the Old Covenant, a life preserver, in light of the New Covenant, the life saver. We now join Pastor Randy.
Well, welcome back to week number four of a five-part series, Merit Badges with Jesus. So far, we have earned our orienteering, our pioneering, and our citizenship merit badges. Orienteering because Jesus points the way to the kingdom of God. Pioneering because Jesus made the way to the kingdom of God. And citizenship because Jesus privileges us to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. Now, perhaps you might be asking yourself, Randy, why merit badges? Of all of the things you could use, why merit badges? Well, I think it's because the letter to the Hebrews is difficult at best. Definitely lofty. Each week I have acknowledged that there is nothing easy about this letter to the Hebrew Christians. Attempting to preach the theological and Christological depths of Hebrews is especially difficult to receive if we're unfamiliar with the Jewish roots of our faith. One might liken it to this desert picture. Hebrews can be a bit dry. That's why the series is only five parts. And at the end of summer, instead of 12 parts, and in the middle of winter. Because I've been doing winters in Pennsylvania for 20 years now, and they're long and dark. Now, last week at second service, I alluded, and you all did your first service, so I know you weren't there, but at second service, I get a little punchy. You kind of miss out on some stuff there. And I alluded to the punchline of a really bad joke. It was said in passing, it was slightly under my breath, so much so that only Pastor Doug was able to understand the reference and thus laugh. Therefore, I believe for the good of the order, it is appropriate to share this really bad dad joke. Before I do, I think it's important to acknowledge that I don't tell jokes. My humor is best displayed in the anecdote, the story, the occasional song, or the peculiar observation, because let's face it, I'm strange. In other words, I'm a bad joke teller. However, the longer I walk in this dad bod of mine, the more I find terrible dad jokes funny. So without further ado, a husband and a wife were sitting in their living room, and they were arguing about who was going to make coffee the next morning. "I don't want to get up and go in the kitchen and make coffee. I'm tired," she said. To which the husband replied, "Well, I made the coffee yesterday and the day before." "Good," said the wife. "You're supposed to. And you're supposed to keep making the coffee because the Bible says so." The husband, becoming angry with his wife, said, "Show me in the Bible where it says the man is supposed to make the coffee." So the wife grabbed the old family Bible, opened up to the New Testament, and showed him top of the several pages, which read, Hebrews. Score! Man, right. Yeah. I could have done a much simpler one, like, how does God make coffee? He brews it! Yeah, again. What do you want me to do, guys? I told you. Yes, these are terrible, terrible dad jokes from which I need saving. And saving is the only segue y'all get for the title of today's sermon, Life Saving. Now, in Boy Scouts, a Life Saving Merit Badge is one of the aquatic merit badges. It's required, or at least it used to be, for the Eagle Scout, and it's also one of the requirements in order to become a Boy Scout certified lifeguard. Now, some of the requirements include, and I always like to share these with you each week, some of the requirements include, enter the water without losing sight of a potential drowning victim. Demonstrate how to tow a victim to shore using a buoyant aid. using a front approach wrist toe and using a rear approach armpit toe. By the way, I was once a BSA lifeguard, and so I got to teach these things. And let me tell you, there ain't nothing funner than being a 21-year-old, good-sized fella like me, watching a 12-year-old struggle to pull me through the water. it's not part of the sermon, I just thought I'd share it with you. Another requirement, demonstrate how to treat a spinal injury in the water and how to safely remove a spinal injury victim from the water with a backboard. Now, the purpose of the merit badge is to teach a scout how to save the life of another person. But it also teaches a scout how to preserve their own life or the life of another until a rescue can take place. One of my favorite requirements, I'm not sure if this is still required, was to create your own personal flotation device while you're in the water. And it would look like this. You were supposed to wear your jeans to the pool and have a belt with you. And then in the water, you're supposed to take off your trousers, cinch it with the belt, blow air into them, tie them, put them around your neck, and it works as a life preserver. And I want you to know I gave serious consideration to doing that same thing with my trousers today, but I didn't want to go that far. Now here's the point, especially in this instance. This is only meant to be a temporary life preserver until the life can be saved. Now the early Hebrew Christians were really struggling in their faith. Not only were they being persecuted from the Roman government and Roman citizens for believing in Jesus, they were being persecuted by Jewish friends and Jewish family members who didn't believe in Jesus, who still worshiped and followed the old covenant that God had once instituted long ago. But here's the problem. The Hebrew Christians were contemplating trading in Jesus, the life saver, for an old life preserver. So in order to teach exactly how Jesus is the lifesaver and not a life preserver, I'm going to, in a moment, show you a picture of the tabernacles that the Jews, where the Jews set up under the old covenant. And I'll be sharing with you verses from today's scripture lesson and their meaning as we go through the lesson. And then I'm going to point out a very significant work, which I believe will unlock a much deeper understanding of Jesus' work as the lifesaver. And I want you to know, there's going to be some interesting things as we go along, how many elements of the Old Covenant, including the word sanctuary, are present in our sanctuary. And how we, as a new covenant people of God, continue worshiping the living God with many of the same elements he did institute under his Old Covenant. So let's go to a picture there of the tabernacle. And I'm reading directly from our scripture lesson today, but I want you to find these elements on the screen. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in the first room called the Most Holy Place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and stone tablets of the covenant. And above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But I want you to notice there, do you see where the curtain is torn away there? So there's a second curtain there that's kind of separating the back room, the Holy of Holies. Just keep that in mind. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year. And never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. Now I want you to notice right there that word ignorance. Because the sacrifice that was offered was only for the sins committed in ignorance. In other words, these are what are called sins of omission. Sins of commission are sins committed deliberately. And those could not be forgiven by the sacrifices under the old covenant. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. In other words, remember, Jesus had not yet created, not yet pioneered a path from heaven to earth and back to heaven. Hebrews goes on to say, this is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and the sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. Now, y'all listen. If for some reason you tuned out, I want you to tune back in right now. And I want you to pay attention to this word, conscience. Because conscience is pivotal to understanding the rest of the lesson and the rest of this sermon. The old covenant was given by God to make people aware of conscience. To make people aware of right and wrong. But that wasn't enough to heal the conscience by clearing it of intentional wrongdoing. The sacrifices offered in worship were temporary ones. They applied only until the time of a new order, a new covenant. Their purpose was to point to a Messiah who could and would cleanse the conscience and produce spiritual life. Verse 11 says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is non-made, that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. In other words, Jesus didn't enter an earthly tabernacle. He didn't enter a sanctuary like this. He didn't enter something made by the hands of people because he didn't leave a tabernacle that was made by people. Jesus left a place that was never constructed, a place that has always been and a place that always will be. Eden, paradise, Zion, the city of God. No matter what you call it, it's the eternal dwelling of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus left the greater and more perfect tabernacle, and then Jesus returned to the greater and more perfect tabernacle. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having attained eternal redemption. Now, I know when we get into this stuff, it starts getting tricky to hear, tricky to understand. I want you to hang with me a little longer. What stood in the way of humanity entering the presence of the living God was a broken conscience. Broken by the state of sin, which is humanity's prideful arrogance toward the living God. The human rituals that God instituted in the Old Covenant, these were meant to be life preservers. Because the DNA of all life, including and especially humans, has a time limit called death. That's why the word blood and the concept of blood sacrifice, why these were instrumental in the Old Covenant as a sign of a Messiah that would come. Because it would take a lifesaver. It would take a lifesaver to sacrifice holy blood. A blood whose DNA was completely divine and completely human. A blood whose perfect conscience was never broken by the state of sin until he became the substitution for sin. It would take the blood transfusion of the Jesus is the lifesaver. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Now, I asked you to pay attention to the word conscience, and I'm going to ask you to pay attention to the word cleanse and the word serve. The word cleanse in the Greek is katharizo. It's where we get catharsis from. If you don't know what a catharsis is, it's when you get something off your chest that's bothering you. When you speak something and your mind and your heart and your body is clear, you're able to just get it out there. That's a catharsis. And the word serve here literally means worship. You see, it's nearly impossible to worship the living God when our conscience is eaten up with guilt and shame or bitterness. So I want you to know today, whatever is binding your conscience, that is meant to be released. That is meant to be released into the loving embrace of Jesus Christ, who died expressly for the purpose of freeing our consciences and thus our souls and our bodies to worship. Because to follow Jesus is to regularly experience a catharsis of the conscience and thus a freedom to worship. What Jesus did on the cross, in the grave, and from eternity, that is a once and a done thing. But let me assure you that catharsis is an ongoing process, at least when you continue to walk with Jesus. And if you've never, ever experienced the release of your guilt, the release of your shame, not only for the wrong that you never meant to do, but for all the wrong that you did mean to do, if you have never experienced that catharsis, then may today be the day of your salvation. May Jesus, life saver, save you today. And for those already following Jesus, if you have somehow found yourself wrestling or trapped in a pattern of guilt or shame or bitterness or disgust, your life savior, Jesus Christ, is knocking at the door of your conscience right now. Jesus is saying, put it down. I love you. I already forgave you. And I forgive you with this. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. Forgive yourself as I have forgiven you. So how do we live life-saving with the life-saver? You know, the world has not yet discovered the cure for cancer or heart disease, Alzheimer's, or anything else that kills us. Today is September 11th. I'm also mindful that we kill each other. The world hasn't discovered a cure for what kills us, but Jesus has given us a cure for death. He's given us a cure for death. So live. Live as though you know the cure for death. Be alive in the process work of Jesus in your life. Don't become stuck in the content of something old or outdated. Change. Change how you interact with yourself and how you interact with those around you. Live. Live as though you belong to a plan that is bigger than yourself. Because you do. You do belong to a plan that is bigger than yourself. And when the opportunity arises to share your story of Jesus and his soul-saving love with another, don't give someone else an old life preserver. Give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. You may have all this world, but give me Jesus. Give them Jesus, the life saver. And this is his word. Seriously, consider this day. All thanks and praise be to the living God, now and forever.
We are glad that you were able to join us today. We hope you found this podcast a blessing. If you would like to learn more about our mission here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org. If you would like to help support our ministries here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org/give, or mail your gift to Calvary United Methodist Church, 4700 Locust Lane, Harrisburg, PA, 17109. God bless.